Phil Weiser will be on the Democratic primary ballot as he seeks election to be the Democratic candidate for Attorney General. And he joins us in the KGNU studio. Thank you for coming in.
It's great to be here.
First of all, why? Why are you running for Attorney General?
We are at a moment in our history when our democracy is at stake. The 2016 election sent shockwaves through our system. And we here in Colorado have a way that we like to operate, working together to solve problems on a range of issues, from protecting our land, air, and water, defending constitutional freedoms, and making sure everyone's got a fair opportunity to succeed. All those commitments, they're on the line right now. We don't know the future of our democracy. And in this moment, everyone has to ask, what can they do? I've spent my life in public service. That's been my true calling. I didn't see myself running for office. I saw potentially service in other forms. But in this moment, I had to ask myself, what can I do? And I decided to run for Attorney General to be the lawyer for the people of Colorado.
So in that essence, then, what do you see as the main responsibilities of the role of Attorney General in the state pertaining to what you just outlined?
The three points that I mentioned and I continue to talk about is the need to defend our constitutional freedoms and our democracy. Our Constitution is not self-executing. We need people to stand up for constitutional rights, and Congress has failed to do so. State attorneys general from other states, not ours, have done things like challenging the ban on Muslims coming to this country, protecting the Dreamers. I want to protect our freedoms and our democracy as Colorado's attorney general. When Ken Salazar was our attorney general, he stopped an unconstitutional gerrymandering. That's what I want to do as attorney general, defend our democracy. That's one. Number two, protect all people's opportunities so they're not taken advantage of and treated unfairly. And number three, protect our land, air, and water, because we are facing climate change. That's a core threat to our children's future. And right now, our attorney general is with Scott Pruitt, siding with his actions at the EPA. We need an attorney general to protect our values here in Colorado, which includes protecting our land, air, and water.
So give us an example of how you might pursue some of those protections, given the current federal administration, if you were the AG.
Let me give you an example of each. On the first one, I've already talked about the ban on Muslims coming here, protecting the Dreamers, also standing up for our democracy in ways that are under threat, such as in the census, asking people if they're an immigrant to this country that will lead to an undercount and hurt us here in Colorado. I will stand up on all those fronts for Colorado. Secondly, protecting opportunities for all. Let me give you two quick examples. First, the Federal Communications Commission is ending network neutrality, a principle that doesn't allow internet companies to ban, to slow down or otherwise discriminate some internet traffic as opposed to others. That has been a protection that the FCC's had for 14 years. It's now being ended. I believe that's wrong. I would join with other attorneys general from other states and challenge that decision to protect net neutrality. Another important protection for consumers is one for those who go to for-profit colleges. Under a rule adopted by the Obama administration, if a for-profit college says to someone, here, come get these skills, and then they graduate, they don't have any of those skills, they've been defrauded, it's up to the college to pay for the debts, not the student. That rule is being lifted by Betsy DeVos. I would fight her in court to keep that rule in place. And finally, on protecting our land, air, and water, we in Colorado developed a rule governing methane emissions. Our attorney general is not seeking to protect the rule that we developed after it was adopted by the EPA. She's sided with Scott Pruitt. I would fight for protections of our land, air, and water, like the methane rule that we developed here and was adopted by the EPA.
In terms of protection of land, air, and water and the environment here, fracking is a huge concern for many people in the state, and particularly along the populated Front Range. Last year, current Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman sued Boulder County over its oil and gas ban. Other communities along the Front Range have been subject to legal action from the state over their efforts to regulate this, Longmont, for example. Would you, as Attorney General, take legal action against communities that are trying to affect local control over the oil and gas industry, even if those efforts go against current state law?
So there's a few points in there. I want to start with an important preamble that I should have said earlier. What I need all listeners to take from this discussion is this Attorney General job matters to the people of Colorado. In many elections, people don't know what the attorney general is, and they don't vote on this office at all. They might vote for governor, for Congress, and then stop voting. This job, attorney general, matters to the people of Colorado in so many ways. I've mentioned a few of them already, and you've put your finger on one that people here in Boulder County completely get. Let me walk through how our protection should work. But before that, let me just mention again what you already noted. we have an attorney general right now who's acting as a lawyer for the oil and gas industry. This is something that I can't begin to understand, how an attorney general would sue Boulder County while the county is working on protecting the population. And here's the worst part. She never talked to them first. This is unprofessional conduct. You don't sue someone without talking to them first, because lawyers at our best are problem solvers. And if you file a lawsuit before you've ever talked to someone, you're not trying to solve a problem. I would flip that. As attorney general, I want to create a special unit dedicated to supporting and working with and guiding localities who are committed to doing what Boulder is doing, keeping people safe. I get the fears for the public health, safety, environment, and we need to support local communities, not sue them. We have a second protection in Colorado, and our attorney general has been similarly derelict in her duty on that. So first, as you noted, local communities. Second, there's a state oil and gas conservation commission. That body is advised by the attorney general, and our current attorney general has given them bad legal advice, refusing to enforce the law and telling our oil and gas commission that they don't have authority to protect the public health, safety, and environment as part of their charter and mandate, which is just wrong. And after our attorney general lost that case at the Court of Appeals, she insisted on going to the Colorado Supreme Court because she's representing an ideological agenda here. She's not starting with law enforcement and protecting local communities. That's where I would begin, and that's where my approach to this issue would flow from.
Well, in terms of some of the legal challenges that are currently in play right now, that could be in your portfolio if you were the AG, the Martinez case.
Yes.
What is your position on that? And if you were the Attorney General, what legal action would you pursue?
I believe that's the case I was just talking about. Thank you for mentioning it. I believe it was wrong to appeal to the Colorado Supreme Court. I would withdraw that appeal if I'm so fortunate to take office before that appeal gets decided, which is unfortunately unlikely. It's already pending. But I wouldn't have brought that appeal. Our governor begged our attorney general, don't bring this appeal, and she didn't listen. She's, to my mind, doubling down on a bad hand. The Colorado Oil and Gas Commission has the authority to consider public health, safety, and welfare in making determinations about whether to give oil and gas drilling permits. I would give them that counsel. I would not pursue an ideological agenda to effect change the law, which is what she's trying to do.
But also on the November ballot, in addition to people deciding on the attorney general race, ballot initiative 97 could be on there, and that would increase setbacks to 2,500 feet from areas like schools and playgrounds or other so-called sensitive areas for new oil well drilling. Would you support that?
My concern about this initiative is it would interfere with the local oversight that we talked about earlier. Every locality has to decide how to best protect their citizens. And one issue that could come up, say in Boulder County, is someone would say, all right, Company X, you've got some existing wells. Those wells might be less than silent. They might make a lot of noise. They might be a little less safe or less dirty. They could retire those wells and put in some new ones. And maybe they would retire, pick the numbers here, 5X and put in 3X. So you'd actually have less oil and gas wells as a result of this. Under this initiative, you couldn't have that sort of change. And so I would, in the first instance, want to leave localities with the flexibility to make that sort of decision for those localities. This initiative is very much coming from this place of concern, a concern that I share, but I worry about this unintended consequence. And so I don't think it's the best way forward.
Well, in terms of communities that are currently working to figure out how to regulate fracking,
right,
if you were the AG and communities came to you to ask, will you work with us at a state level to try to regulate the oil and gas industry? What would your answer be?
I'm all in. That's my job. My job is to work with you. You've hit the point on the head. The job of the Attorney General is to work with communities and to protect the people. And what people listening need to know, we have an Attorney General who's not doing that. By suing Boulder County, and you've already touched on it, all the counties across our state are asking themselves, can I trust? Can I work with the Attorney General's office? I want to change the culture in that office. The goal of the office is to protect people, to work with communities, and not just on oil and gas, on other issues like the opioid epidemic, on managing water, on lowering healthcare costs. We have important work to do. The way we get it done is working together to develop solutions. And to have an Attorney General who sues communities and is not on their side, this is a big problem. And the only reason it's able to happen is because people don't understand how important this office is.
Would you take a pledge then to not sue communities that might be working contradictory to state law if they were to regulate oil and gas?
So I'm loath to take any sort of absolute pledges here, but what I will make as a pledge is absolutely to work with communities at every step of the way. And for me to ever imagine suing community, and this is the issue, there could be lots of issues that people have talked about, communities who might do things that are problematic. I view suing a community, it's a last resort. And what I can say is, it is extremely unforeseeable, unlikely. It is against what I want to do. But hypothetically, if there's a community that was acting in a way that was so lawless on a particular issue, and it might be this issue, it might be in other ones, I would not, so to say, I would never sue them. I just want to say it goes against my grain. It's not what I'm about. It's not how I'm going to lead that office.
Well, we will move on from oil and gas in a moment.
But this is an important issue.
It's such an important issue locally. Now, you did describe current Attorney General Cynthia Coffman as essentially working as an attorney for the oil and gas industry. An attorney who's actually working for the oil and gas industry is Ken Salazar, who's held many positions at a state level and a federal level. He came out after the fatal home explosion in Firestone in 2017 as working for the law firm for Anadarko. Ken Salazar has endorsed your campaign.
Right. It should be noted, Ken Salazar endorsed me the day I announced May 11th. That's before he took on this representation. I've not talked with Ken about this representation. I have no idea what he's doing. Ken has got a long record in Colorado public service. When I've talked to him, it's been about that record and service. It's about what he did as Attorney General. It's about his attitude of working on behalf of the people of Colorado. When he was Attorney General, he focused on Colorado's land, water, and people. And it's worth noting, Ken Salazar is the only person in the last 40 years to be elected as a Democrat as Attorney General. The other person who was elected as Democrat Attorney General, who's still living, is J.D. McFarland. He's endorsed me, too. Also, Elise Jones, commissioner here in Boulder County, has worked very hard to protect people in Boulder County from unsafe oil and gas drilling. She's endorsed me as well. Tim Wirth, a big critic of global warming, climate change, has also endorsed me. Former congressman here, former U.S. Senator. David Skaggs, another congressman. My point is, a lot of people have endorsed me, and I don't necessarily know all the things they might have done in their careers. What I can say is, in the case of Ken Salazar, his leadership as our Attorney General and as a Democrat is something that is a roadmap. If we want to win this office, we need to learn from what Ken did. And what he did really well is two things. He explained to people why this job mattered. And the second thing he did, he got all across the state. I've been to every county in Colorado, all 64, because I believe you need to lead all parts of Colorado. And Ken was successful in doing that and getting votes.
But do you have concerns, though, about what many people see as a revolving door between public service elected officials and the industry that they have either been part of regulating or could potentially be part of regulating again? I mean, what about the conflict of interest that lies there?
There are clear and important rules that govern conflict of interest rules. I am a part of those rules because I've served in the federal government as a law clerk to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in the Justice Department under President Clinton, in the Justice Department under President Obama, and the White House under President Obama. And based on that work, I am subject to conflict of interest rules. Now, I've chosen to make my life entirely in public service. I've not been a corporate lawyer. I've been a professor here at the University of Colorado Boulder. I've also been the dean there. So I've not had to live under the rules the way people in law firms. I believe that Ken Salazar is operating within those rules. And if people want to change those rules because they're concerned about them, we should have that discussion. We should seek to do it. I will say Obama was very, very careful about those rules. Our current administration, not as careful. And we should be concerned about the point you meant, the revolving door, conflicts of interest. Those are really important issues. What I can tell you is look at my record and background. I've spent my whole career in the public sector. That's who I am. That's why I'm running for this office.
And would you feel fully able to come up against, say, an oil and gas company like Anadarko that currently right now there is a lot of legal action around that, given Ken Salazar's position there?
This is a really important point. You want an attorney general with the legal mind, the legal experience, and the leadership experience to lead that office effectively, regardless of who's on the other side. And whoever represents oil and gas companies or put in other interests who might be overseen by the Attorney General's office, gun manufacturers with respect to our gun laws, or others who are representing companies who might be accused of, let's say, for-profit colleges not following the rules. Everyone is going to get the following treatment from me. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to be fair, which means I'll listen to people. I'm not going to bring cases just because I think they sound good in the newspaper. but I'm going to be tough in applying our rules because we need enforcement. If we have rules, whether it's oil and gas drilling, for-profit colleges, or healthcare, we need enforcement. If we don't have effective enforcement of our rules, we're in trouble. And this is a big point right now because what's happening at the federal level on consumer protection, environmental protection, a dereliction of duty. The rules are not being enforced, which means the states are even more important. If we don't elect an attorney general committed to these values here in Colorado, we're putting our citizens at risk.
Do you think the laws currently are adequate to deal with oil and gas issues in the state?
I don't have a full answer on this because we have a current attorney general who's undermining the laws we do have. So here's my answer. Let's make our laws that we currently have work the best they can. And if they're not working, I'll be the first to work with communities to improve them. Because the number one value we have is keeping people safe. People shouldn't worry when they drop their kids off at school about whether their public health's in danger. That is a real fear right now. And instead of responding to that fear, we have an attorney general who's actually ignoring it. And it's wrong. So I want to work to make our current laws work. And I'm sure there's room for improvement. We talked about in the legislature this past session, I believe they took some measures to address it, these orphan well issues, which are wells that were not being currently managed. That's a big problem. We need to fix that problem. The question that we haven't got to answer because of our current attorney general is whether or not the regulatory authority in the Oil and Gas Commission, the local authority of county commissions and towns and cities, if that gets used properly, is that enough? And my honest answer is I don't know yet. We need to make that work first, and then we'll see what improvements we need on top of it.
We're speaking with Phil Weiser on KGNU. He's on the Democratic primary in the Attorney General race. He's hoping to be the Democratic candidate in the November election. In terms of some of the other issues that you could potentially be dealing with as an Attorney General, many of them are coming into conflict right now with federal policy, immigration, this issue of sanctuary cities, and actual immigrants in sanctuary. Colorado, I think, has the highest number of immigrants claiming sanctuary in churches. What is your, what would your position be, particularly given the Jeff Sessions proclamations about how he would like to deal with sanctuary communities?
I mean, my heart is breaking on this issue. Just so you know where I'm coming from, my mom, my grandparents were immigrants to this country, fleeing religious persecution in 1951. My mom was born in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany on April 13, 1945. The next day, the U.S. Army liberated my mom. And my grandmother, my grandfather, and my mom came here because this country opened up opportunity and freedoms to my family and welcomed them as immigrants. That's what this country is about. That's what I'm fighting for. Jeff Sessions' approach on these issues is surreal to me. It goes against our history, our constitutional values, and it's scary. There's a lot I can say on this. Let me start with the sanctuary cities point you've focused on. The idea of a sanctuary city, and frankly, I don't love the term, because if you are here without proper documentation, you have not committed a crime. That's a civil offense for which the remedy, which can be managed with discretion, is deportation. Historically, deportation was done when people were actually believed to be criminals. What Jeff Sessions has threatened to do, whether it's to the Dreamers or others, is to wholesale deport people because of a hostility to immigrants. Immigrants who can be hardworking, law-abiding, and contributing members of our community. What Denver did is say, we are not going to allow our police officers to get pulled into being deportation agents. We are going to exercise our authority in a humane, common sense way. First, why is that humane and common sense? Because if you want people to show up and testify in court when they're a victim of a crime, whether it's rape, trespass, or theft, you can't have the fear that they're going to be deported as a result. So Denver said, we're going to have safe zones, whether they're our courts, hospitals, educational institutions. That's, I believe, a common sense policy. But more important, this is the second point, and this gets to answer your question. Jeff Sessions does not have the right under the Constitution to commandeer our law enforcement in service of deportation. We have sovereign rights in the 10th Amendment. I would defend those rights, and I believe it's a sensible policy to do what Denver's doing, and so I would absolutely defend it. And other states have too. In fact, there's an affirmative lawsuit brought by a number of states, not Colorado, to establish the clear right to engage in such policies.
Would you be able to, as Attorney General, if you were in that office, to do anything about the ICE raids and the fact that we are seeing more ICE agents show up in areas prior to this not really seeing that at schools, in courthouses, things like that. Would you, in your capacity as Attorney General, do anything about that?
This is a really important question, and there are a couple answers. First, I am a deep believer in the rule of law, which means we need our officials to operate within the rule of law, to enforce and defend the law as they find it. Unfortunately, as a matter of law enforcement, we don't have tools in our current laws, either state or federal, to stop ICE from doing that. ICE has a lot of discretion that they can exercise, and right now they're doing it in very, very inhumane ways. Unless there's a federal restriction on their conduct, we can't stop them. So I would look for such a restriction because I'm horrified. The recent reports we're seeing now about how immigrants are having family separated is wrong, but it may not be against federal law. Second, and this is an important point, I wouldn't stop with what is my legal tools in the toolkit. We have other tools in the toolkit, including putting pressure on the federal government through our voices and through organizing. And I would use those tools as much as possible to stop this counterproductive and inhumane conduct.
In terms of other federal conflicts that we're seeing playing out here in Colorado, Jeff Sessions has also come out against marijuana, even in states where voters have approved it or it has been legalized to some extent. What would your role be as Attorney General of Colorado in that regard?
This is a really important point, and back to an overall point I've made. I really need listeners to understand why the Attorney General job matters. In too many years, people have skipped over this job, but in this year, it plays a central, a fundamental role. And you need a person in this office with proven leadership experience. I have that from working for President Obama in the Justice Department, the White House, as well as being Dean of CU Law School here, to lead an office of 500 people on a range of issues, to stand up for Colorado and our citizens against Jeff Sessions on issues like marijuana. The first point is one that we've already touched on. There's this concept of anti-commandeering. You can't allow the federal government to commandeer any of our law enforcement resources. Second, I would use other tools, political tools, to stop from seeing federal law enforcement try to undermine our law here in Colorado, and I'd work with others to make sure we do that because we're making this experiment work here in Colorado. I want to work to make it work with the appropriate regulatory safeguards and give rise to the benefits like in Pueblo County. They've now got scholarships for people going to college because they're taxing marijuana. This is a much smarter approach. And finally, and this is really important, on the criminal justice front, it is idiotic, Jeff Sessions, to one side, maybe as an example, that we would go ahead and put people in prison for marijuana. We've made a huge step forward acknowledging drugs should be treated as a public health issue. That's the approach I'd want to keep driving forward, including to issues like opioids, which are a real challenge across our state. We're putting people in jail because they're opioid users. That's wrong. We should treat it as a public health issue.
In terms of the opioid crisis right now, what about holding corporations accountable who are not just making profits off the opioid crisis, but who have been shown to be culpable in creating the crisis in the first place?
Amen. I will hold them accountable. I will have the leadership experience, the legal knowledge, and the expertise to be one of the leaders. I worked in the antitrust division on consumer protection and antitrust issues under two Democratic administrations. I've led investigations on such complicated issues. I will be there in the forefront with states leading the charge right now, not Colorado, and make sure these companies are held accountable because what they did was wrong. They marketed a product knowing that it could have these terrible effects, and they just were cashing the checks. And we need to stand up for our citizens in Colorado, and the result of a victory here is a big deal. There are parts of our state right now that have no drug treatment. When I visited Alamosa County, the sheriff there told me, and this is just chilling, 90% of the people in the Alamosa County jail are opioid users. What are we doing? Nothing. And he says, he has no tools. There's no drug treatment available in Alamosa County or there around. We've got to change it. Once we win this lawsuit and hold them accountable, we will take that money and we'll ensure we get drug treatment where we need it so we're not putting people in jail because they're victims and we're not helping them.
In terms of the criminalization and people serving jail terms for nonviolent drug offenses, there's a huge racial component to that. What is the role of the Attorney General in looking at what's happening with the disproportionate number of people of color serving time for this?
This is an important point, and it's worth explaining this a little bit because a lot of people might think, oh, the Attorney General is like a district attorney. No. All of the frontline criminal prosecution that we often talk about, theft, murder, rape. It's happening with local district attorneys. At the Attorney General's office, we have criminal appeals, and that's an important piece of it. And secondly, we have a lot of white-collar crime, like healthcare fraud or securities fraud or environmental crimes. And that's what I would oversee from the AG's office. But that's not the extent of your authority. You have moral authority working with all the district attorneys, working with the sheriffs to change the direction of our criminal justice system. We have to be uncomfortable with our current criminal justice system. And you've mentioned a powerful reason why. There's a racial component here. There's a great book, New Jim Crow, that talks about the impact. And a lot of this, not all of it, but a lot of it is the war on drugs. We put people in prison over the last 30 years for drug offenses. And the impact was heavily on people of color. We need to acknowledge that was a failed experiment with a huge cost to people's lives. We need to say, if you're not a threat to public safety, we shouldn't be putting you in prison just as a default. We should be saying, what are other approaches, alternatives to incarceration? And particularly with technological options, we have a lot of them. I want to use them to help people get on a better path in life. And it goes from the very beginning, juvenile offenders, through other nonviolent crimes, to when people are in prison and leaving, helping set them up so they have alternatives in their lives. This is the humane thing to do. It's also the common sense, dollar and cents thing to do. We're spending a lot of money, more and more, on prisons and less on education. That is flipped in the wrong direction. So we've got work to do to reform our criminal justice system. As Attorney General, I'll work with the DAs. I'll work with the legislature to make that progress. I worked with DAs as the dean of CU Law School to create a district attorney fellowship program for recent grads working in rural areas, and we got that passed. I will work with them to make reforms in our criminal justice system because we need to do better.
What's your position on the death penalty?
I'm against the death penalty. Here is what people need to know about the death penalty. It costs a lot of money to give the death penalty, and juries don't want to give it. Look at the Holmes case. We spent, as a state, $5 to $10 million that we didn't have to spend, and the jury decided death penalty is not right. We in Colorado, at least unlike other states, have committed to giving people full and fair defense, so we're not going to be allowing innocent people put to death, which other states are way too tolerant of, and it's a moral stain on our nation's conscience. But we have to look at the data on this, and the data is pretty clear. The death penalty doesn't make sense. We should get rid of it.
Well, we still have it, though. So would you work to get rid of it? Or if a case were to come in the state, would you still fulfill the laws that are here on the books in the state, even if you disagree with them, like the death penalty?
This is an important point for any attorney general candidate. You have an obligation to enforce and defend the laws, even if you don't like them. Our current attorney general, Cynthia Kaufman, has enforced our civil rights laws in a famous case now at the Supreme Court, the Masterpiece Bakery case, protecting the rights of gays and lesbians to be able to purchase wedding cakes. We have a law that's restricting people from getting weapons, have to go through a background check, limiting magazine capacity. Our current attorney general has defended that law as well. If our current attorney general had not defended those two laws or refused to enforce them, I would call her lawless and derelict of her duty. Just the same, if I have an obligation to enforce death penalty and to file death penalty appeals, I would do that as attorney general because it would be a dereliction of duty to politicize the office and only enforce or defend laws that I agreed with.
Just as we finish up, there's so much attention now being paid to corporate money influencing politics and a lot of attention being paid as to where candidates are getting their money from. You are raising the most money in this particular race. Can you let listeners know where your funding is coming from?
Thank you for that question. And I want to end where I started. Our democracy is now at stake. We're seeing constitutional liberties infringed. We're seeing threats on our right to vote, gerrymandering, and finally, dark money in elections. The threat of dark money is thanks to Citizens United. I will work to overturn Citizens United. I'll work to ban dark money in Colorado politics. Montana did ban dark money, and they did it by a law called the Disclose Act, which meant if you're going to spend money in Colorado elections, you've got to disclose all your donors. All the money that I have raised is from individuals. I've not had any PAC money, no corporate money. It's all listed. And what has been, for me, amazing about this campaign is people, lots of them former students, former colleagues from the Obama administration, people who are alums of CU Law School, they've all come together and said, Phil, we are concerned about the future of our government. We need good people in government. We're going to invest in you. And that has led me to have money to communicate my message. And the message is important to get out because a lot of people don't know what the Attorney General's office does or why we need a Democrat as one of as our Attorney General. So I'm getting that message out. I'm calling on all of us in Colorado to work together to ban dark money because it is a big threat to our elections. To give you the snapshot, in 2014, the last Attorney General's race, Cynthia Kaufman benefited from a group called the Republican Attorneys General Association. They spent $3 million to elect Cynthia Kaufman. In her own campaign with disclosed donors, only $500,000. That's a threat to democracy. I'm committed to building democracy, supporting democracy, and fighting for democracy. And I'm concerned about the threat of dark money in our elections, and I'll fight against it.
But what about money coming into your campaign from out of state? Because I know that is something that has been happening.
It's about 20% of my total money raises from out of state. And this is not hard to explain. As a professor at CU Law School and as the dean, we had a lot of students who went elsewhere to New York, to San Francisco, to D.C. When I served in D.C., in the Obama administration and Clinton administration, people got to see what kind of public servant I am. And that was a very important and valuable experience for me. And others got to know me. They say, Phil, this is an important job. It's an important time for democracy. I want to support you. So about 20% of my money is from out of state. Other candidates, when they've run in the past, have had well more from that. I think what's powerful is how many people all across our state have supported me. I've been to, like I said, every county in our state, have gotten support from all corners of our state. This is a scary time, and I'm moved and inspired by how many people are stepping up and want to support me on this journey.
Phil Weiser will be on the Democratic primary ballot as he seeks to be the candidate for the Democratic Party for the Attorney General race in Colorado. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate you getting the word out. It's important.